Hi, everybody, and welcome to Mecha Dragon, a podcast about all the geeky and nerdy stuff you love. Brought to you by Captain Geek and the Dark Nerd. I'm your Captain Will.
And I'm your nerd, Jess.
Today, we will be discussing Game of Thrones Season 8, Episode 4, The Last of the Starks. And I am pleased to announce that today we have with us a special guest to help us analyze and discuss and react to this episode, the Dame of Thrones herself, Deanna.
Woo, hey everyone. Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, Deanna.
Welcome to the show. Thanks so much for coming on here to chat with us about the obsession that we all can't get enough of, Game of Thrones.
Oh, yes. There's a lot to unpack.
Oh, there's so much. I feel like in this last season, there has been just so much happening in every single episode that it's just like, it's hard to keep up almost. You know, I'm writing down like highlights that I want to talk about, and I realize I'm writing down every single scene in the show practically. So let's get to it. Why don't we start with our general impressions of this latest episode? And Deanna, why don't we start with you? What are your general thoughts on this episode?
So my general thoughts, I thought it was a good episode, even though I really didn't like a lot of the stuff that was happening in it necessarily. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was good in terms of giving us kind of like a lot of just tying up kind of different people's stories and really setting us up for the last two episodes and obviously a big battle episode that's going to be happening next week. So I did like that it was getting everybody ready for it, but it did feel a little rushed. Like we were just like suddenly jumping to here and suddenly we're already here. Like they don't have any time to really show us like people traveling to places, for example. But I liked it. I thought there was a lot of stuff going on and oh man, I'm worried. I'm worried about where things are going to go with Dany.
Things are worrying, are they not? Yeah. And you make a good point about them packing so much in. I actually think this episode could have done with, or this season could have done with an extra episode in there somewhere.
I agree. Yeah, totally.
There's just so much that has to happen. On the other hand, they are giving us really long episodes now. So, you know.
What did this episode clock in at? I know the last one was pretty long.
Episode 4 was 1 hour 18 minutes.
Ooh, yeah.
That's nothing to shake a stick at.
Nope. That is long. So they are definitely giving us a lot, which is nice.
Yeah. So that's
I wouldn't mind an extra episode here and there.
I wouldn't mind
I'd be happy with 12 1-hour episodes.
Yeah, I don't want it to end, really, is the truth.
I know. But how many more people could possibly die and there still be a show? I mean, let's consider that as well.
True. Well, 20.
Right. So, Jess, why don't you tell us your general impressions of the episode?
I agree with Deanna. It did feel rushed. Obviously, a lot of times in the past, we'd see them, you know, traveling and you'd get the long scene of them discussing things. But this time it's like they just fast traveled. Just like we all do when we're playing games. And they cheated the system. But overall, after the last three episodes, you know, the one thing that I thought was missing was a lot of the backstabbing and the intrigue. Because basically everyone was, you know, getting prepared to fight for their life and then doing exactly that. And I missed out on the intrigue. It's like it hasn't really been part of the season so far. So it's good that they got back into it like that, but I'm kind of like Bran in that, you know, when they're in the celebration and they're all drinking and playing their games and this and that, you know, Bran would have been like, okay, we don't have time for this. Let's get, you know, we're only halfway through the battle. Let's get back to work here. So in a couple ways, I could have done without certain parts of this episode, but I understand why they put him in to, you know, fill out some of the storylines for all the characters.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that lack of intrigue, which has been such a just such a big part of this show in general. Although they did, you know, even though it's like the one episode, you know, last week where they're fighting the undead, like the one episode where they probably shouldn't be killing each other. Right. They did still make reference to it, right? There was that scene in the hearth room in that hall where they all ended up gathering, where Tyrion said something to the effect of, you know, at one point or another, we all fought against the Starks, but here we are defending Winterfell with them, you know. Yeah. So that was at least a reference to it. But yet, now that the undead are gone, it's back to the backstabbing.
Yeah, it's almost like it's almost like the first three episodes of the season where, like, in, what was it, Wayne's World, where they're playing hockey in the street and a car comes by and they say, game off. And then, and then it's game on. That's what the first three episodes were. And now it's game on. The car of, you know, the undead army has passed. So now we're back into the actual literal Game of Thrones.
I never would have thought to compare Game of Thrones to that movie, honestly. Now that it's done, it's done.
I try and find all the wacky references.
Yeah. Well, my general impressions are pretty much in line with yours, both of yours. There was a lot in this episode. You know, there were moments where I did think, I wish they could slow down for a second and maybe, you know, give more time to this or that. But, you know, they're getting to the point where everything's going to culminate in the, you know, the final couple episodes. So I guess I'm okay with it. You know what, though? They did take their time on certain moments. Just for example, and we'll talk about these in more depth in a couple of minutes, but like, just for example, that moment that Brienne had with Jaime where he's leaving and she tries to get him to stay. I mean, you know, that's, they really took the time that they needed with that encounter between those two characters. I didn't feel like that particular scene was rushed. I just think that maybe it would have been nice to have more time with a few other things. But
flesh it out a bit.
I know, I wish, like, when they were going to do the whole Stark kids all together and Bran was going to explain everything to Jon, I wish we could have seen that part.
I know.
Get out a whiteboard, start doing a Venn diagram of people you're related to and people you have slept with.
keep the flow chart on screen so we can all follow along because we're done.
I think it was really, I really wanted to see him explain that to Sansa and Arya and just to see their faces like while he was explaining it, you know?
Yes, exactly.
That would have been great. On the other hand, I really think it was smart of Jon to have Bran explain it. You know, you kind of have the sense that if he just came out and said it, they'd at least have a moment of like, you're shitting me right now. What are you talking about, John? But, you know, the fact that Bran is the three-eyed raven and all that. So, okay, so why don't we take this into specific highlights of the episode that we want to talk about? And, you know, maybe we can try and go in chronological order just to give us some type of organization here. But, you know, this begins in the aftermath of the great battle against the undead and everyone grieving. And this is another moment where I thought, oh, well, they actually gave these characters the space to do this, you know, when they mm-hmm. I could see other shows kind of skipping over that moment, you know, maybe and going right to the pyres where they're burning the bodies and Jon gives that amazing speech. But I thought Daenerys's moment there with Ser Jorah was really affecting. And who else did we see? Did we see Sam?
We saw Sansa and Theon.
Oh, Sansa and Theon. The fact that she gave him
the little pin, the sigil pin.
The Stark pin.
That just like, that touched my heart. I was like, oh, he's part of the Stark family after all. That was a very touching moment, I thought.
He really did earn it, and he earned that redemption of his. I mean, talk about a journeyman. He's been on one of the most intense ones out of anybody in the whole show, I think.
Yeah, he really has. He's gone the whole gamut of everything.
So it was, that was super satisfying to see her.
Yeah,
just
they
that
did.
In.
They did a little bit of that redemption arc with Ser Jorah too, but you know
he didn't
Theon
really need redeemed it so much as Theon though. You know he.
Oh yeah, Theon went to the extremes.
Yeah, Ser Jorah was just, you know, the loyal knight, you know, to the queen that he loved to the very end.
Well, he did try to get her killed at the very beginning, but he kind of
there's that
for that.
Well, yeah, who doesn't? So come on, it's Game of Thrones.
I think he turned that one around. Yeah. So Jon makes that speech.
Oh, that was so good.
It was an amazing speech. It was totally. I mean, it felt real. You know, as he was delivering it there. And everything he said was true, you know, about everyone in the world owing all of them a debt that can never be repaid and about how they have to remember for everybody that comes in the future. I think that Jon's speech is the latest in a string of events or actions by Jon that the show is using to set something up or maybe using to set something up. And I want to get your guys' thoughts about this because
like to show that he has like leadership kind of abilities or.
Yeah. And not
I feel
that
like that's definitely. Yeah.
I mean, we know that he's a great leader, and this is just like the latest example of him rising to new heights as a leader, right? But if you contrast it in that scene to the fact that Dany doesn't say anything, she doesn't get in front of the, you know, the crowd of survivors and say anything as queen. And yes, granted, you know, she had a good emotional reason not to like want to get out and do that. But I think that that was, if her goal is to be queen, that was a missed opportunity for her. And so the show is kind of indicating
to
us.
Yeah, to step in and reassert her, you know, her.
I kind of see both sides to that, though, because I feel like Dany's kind of stepping in as this foreign queen who, like, nobody knows her, nobody likes her. And if she starts doing a speech the way that John did, which was amazing and heartfelt and, like, really just so good and inspiring to everybody, like, I feel like the Northerners might just be like, whatever, lady, you don't even know who we are, and you're pretending that you know us, and you're pretending you know our sorrow and our loss here. We barely even know you. We've known you for like 3 days, maybe.
Maybe that's, yeah, that's probably true.
You know, it could be him being like groomed in the people's eyes, so when he eventually does spill the beans about his true heritage, maybe that'll just cement him in place.
Well, I think, I think that's true, too. I mean, I think you're right, Deanna, and maybe that fact is contributing to her increasingly unstable state of mind, because she's slowly sort of seeing how much more difficult it's going to be for her to rule these people when they don't know her.
Yeah.
Whereas, obviously, they adore John. You know, there's that scene later when they're feasting and finally, you know, the energy sort of turns more positive and Tormund is there like clapping John on the back and being like, oh, he's, you know, he's a king, he's a hero, he's all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if that's contributing to a potential downward spiral.
Yeah,
that we're seeing,
and she's
from
also, I feel like she's just getting so much more isolated too, because like the people that she's close to, she just lost her Jorah, who's, you know, probably the one man who's going to be singing her praises the most and thinks she's so great. I mean, she has Tyrion, who's definitely like, you know, trying to help rally people again, like to get behind her. And then there's Missandei, but really she doesn't, it's not like she has a lot of people. She lost all her Dothraki, but a lot of them.
She lost a lot of them.
They just died. Yeah. And so like, you don't even see any Dothraki really in the Great Hall when they're all celebrating, you know? And so she sees all these fighters happily celebrating together, and most of her guys are gone. The people who know her are mostly gone. And then on top of that, she has this like bombshell that was just dropped by Jon before the fighting started. So
right,
there's like,
right before
there's
the battle.
A lot happening for Dany.
She's like, wait, what?
Like, I feel for her. I also got kind of, I was like torn between lots of different emotions watching her, because on the one hand, I'm like, girl, yeah, that sucks. But also, then she was also kind of handling it like a bit of a spoiled brat and kind of being mad, instead of like, I think she would have had a really good chance to shine in the Great Hall to get people to start to know her a little bit better. And instead, a lot of it was spent just sulking and like giving the stink eye to everybody.
Yeah, I mean, she definitely did something smart, I think, in talking to Gendry and, you know, giving him the lordship of Storm's End and making him a Baratheon.
Right.
And that was actually
that was
really
cool.
Great. I think he does, you know, that character deserves that. I think that's a really satisfying moment of the show, something that's paid off from like way long time ago, right?
Yeah, no, I thought that was a good move on her part, too. I mean, he made all the weapons.
Yeah, that's right. He made all the dragonglass weapons. But didn't he appear in season one? Didn't Ned talk to him in season one, Gendry? Wow.
Yeah, he's been in the show from the beginning.
So that's paid off, and I think that was a really savvy move by her. But you're right, she did seem like she was sulking in a way. I mean, yeah, she was really traumatized, you know, but I'm not really sure why she didn't take that opportunity, like you were saying,
exactly,
to really shine in the feasting hall. So
like, if you're trying to get the northern people to like you more and to trust you, like, you can't just sit there
and that was the
not,
perfect
and
moment
barely
for
say
her.
Anything. And she did say the Gendry thing, so that was good. But then it kind of bothered me that then afterwards Tyrion's like, that was a good move. Like, they'll always be loyal to you at Storm's End, you know? And then she goes, I can be pretty clever, too. Like, that part just annoyed me, because I was like, yes, that's a smart thing to do. But I think the fact that she said it just kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
In that moment, did you notice that look that Sansa gave them? Like, she was not happy.
Yeah, she was like, Tyrion, how dare you? We had a moment in the crypt yesterday.
Right.
I said you were my favorite.
Yeah.
The thing about Sansa now is, like, I always see those wheels turning in her head. She is always playing ahead. She is, I mean, she learned a lot from Baelish, Littlefinger. She learned a lot from Cersei, from everything that's happened to her.
Oh, yeah. Right. She's savvy now. But, like, and I like that about her. But I'm also, I feel like she's always had a chip on her shoulder about Daenerys no matter what. And true. I get it, because, like, the North, you know, like, the Northerners have, like, their own culture, and, like, they wanted to be free, and they kind of, like, fought themselves back to freedom, and now this queen comes swooping in. But, like, she really, really doesn't like Daenerys, and there hasn't been a real reason yet that's been disclosed to us, other than just being like, oh, well, you know, men are easily beguiled by women and start doing stupid things. But there's no real reason for her to be like, no, I actually really hate Dany because blah, blah, blah. You know, like, when you think of all the stuff that Dany actually really has done so far when she was in Essos, that's impressive stuff. And Sansa is just like totally like, if you are not a Stark, I don't like you, I don't trust you, and don't even talk to me.
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of Sansa and, you know, her growth as a character and as a leader, was it the Hound she was talking to?
Oh, that was so good. Yeah.
And, you know, he says, you know, if you'd have come with me, this wouldn't happen, that would have happened, and blah, blah, blah. And then he calls her Little Bird, and she's like, yeah, well, if I went with you, I'd still be a little bird.
Yeah.
You know, she wouldn't have experienced everything she has that made her who she is today. And
yeah, I thought that was a great moment between them.
Yeah, it was a good scene.
You could really see in the Hound's eyes that he recognized how much she had changed, because there's that moment where he, like, snapped at her. He was like, that's my bloody business, or whatever he said. And,
right.
And then she just stared at him with, like, total calm on her face. And he sort of drew back and was like, oh, okay, this is who you are now. And I thought that was a great little moment between them, really shown how, you know, how far she's come. And interesting little, like, connection that they have, you know, because he did help her quite a bit.
Yeah. And he's helped both the Stark girls, you know. He's always been, I feel like he's always been on the Stark girl's side. Like, he's been helping him out. He was helping Arya. He wanted to help Sansa. And he's like, even though he likes to kill all the time, he's a good guy deep down inside. I really like the Hound. He's kind of one of my favorites.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites too, definitely.
I think the thing with the Hound is, you know, he's done some pretty awful stuff, but at his core, you know, he doesn't like bullies. He doesn't like people taking advantage of other people, you know, just for the fun of it. The terrible things that he's done, by and large, I think in his mind, he's done to survive.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, like, he's always had a justifiable reason for the way that he behaves.
At least in his mind, yeah. It's just, you know, he's just the latest in a long list of examples, you know, from this show and these stories of characters that are morally ambiguous, which is one of the really interesting things about this show. So,
well, that's one thing about him, too. Like you say, he's always, you know, doing what he does to survive. I don't really recall any scenes throughout the whole series where he's, like, stabbed people in the back or turned on them. He's always pretty much straightforward with everybody. He just does what he has to do to keep his, you know, keep his own hide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so he's one of the more honest murderers.
One of the more honest murderers. Yeah, absolutely. I can't disagree with that. Now, I want to talk about the title of this episode and that scene between Tyrion, I think it was Tyrion and Bran, where, so the title of the episode is The Last of the Starks. And there, it was just a really short scene where Tyrion says something like, he's talking to Bran, and Bran mentions his wheelchair was, you know, the same one that yada yada used 120 years ago.
I love that. That was great. I feel like he was just like, I was just doing some research on some really good wheelchairs going back in time, and I found this really great one from, like, about 2 centuries ago.
Yeah, it's my favorite one. But yeah, but no, when Tyrion says, well, you know, that historical knowledge will come in handy as the Lord of Winterfell, and Bran says, oh, I'm not the Lord of Winterfell. And Tyrion says, well, you're the last trueborn son of Ned Stark. And that was more like off of Bran's, you know, same look that he always has now. It was pretty much the end of the scene. You know, and so that does make me wonder. I've been thinking, like, wait a minute, are there going to be more Starks? I mean, really, are there going to be more Starks? Now, I could see Sansa staying and not getting married for the reason that she continues to, you know, be the Lady of Winterfell. But I don't know. I don't know how they're going to perpetuate the line unless Ned has some bastards out there, which seems kind of unlikely.
Yeah, that's, I wouldn't think that would be likely at all.
You know,
so yeah, that's
a little
so crazy.
Late in the story for that.
I never even really kind of thought of that, but yeah.
Can they have like some really lady marry Bran and bear a child to him, even though he doesn't care?
Yeah,
you
he's
know,
like,
at this point,
do what you gotta do. Yeah, and when and also he mentions, he's like, well, I just live in the past pretty much most of the time anyway, so he's kind of nutty. He doesn't even care about the future or the present. Yeah. He's done. He's done with it all.
Yeah, it's like I mentioned in prior episodes of the podcast. It's like Bran, you know, he just shows up randomly in his wheelchair and like people will talk to him and he just stares at him, you know, at that like vacant 1,000-yard stare in his eye. And they're like, well, man, I swear I was talking to that guy. He's like, I see what you did there. You know, because he sees everything, figuratively and literally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I really hope that they'll be able to give us more information from Bran, because I feel like he has so much stuff and we're not getting any of it. We just get him
it's like,
sitting in the wheelchair.
It needs to
be
unpacked.
Yeah. Like, what stories do you have to tell us, Bran? Come on.
Yeah.
You got a dish.
Yeah. You'd think he'd have something to contribute to the war effort, you know, if he knows everything.
Yeah.
Practically, except for the future.
Yeah, and
he can
kind of look into the future, right? I mean, I'm not totally clear on it, but or he at least can know exactly what's going on in the present. But for some reason, I always thought like he had like little glimpses of into the future, and I wonder if he'll ever. I don't know.
Yeah, I think if he can see anything at all into the future, it's not the full sight that he has in the present and the past.
Right.
You know, maybe the future is still subject to subject to change based on the choices that people make. But, you know, I want to keep coming back to one of the central things that this episode is doing, because it really seems to be setting up, is Dany too unbalanced now? Is she going to become a tyrant? Because remember, when she finally leaves the feasting hall with that, you know, very dark expression on her face, Varys, he's watching her very closely and he follows her out.
Oh, yeah.
And then,
he's like...
And then, yeah. And then later he's having that conversation with Tyrion because, you know, Sansa told Tyrion Jon's secret.
Yeah, Sansa cannot keep a secret, you guys. You swear her to secrecy, no.
I think it was a very calculated move on her part because she knows, she's very savvy now, as we've established, and she knows that if she tells Tyrion, he's going to talk to Varys about it, right? I think that's a pretty good bet on her part. And then if that happens, they're going to discuss like, oh, well, what if Jon is better? Obviously, everybody in the North, you know, is very loyal to him and like all of this stuff. And he is a Targaryen and he also has the connection with the dragons. So I think that was very smart of her. Although I think before we get further on that, maybe we should talk about the scene where Jon does reveal to Arya and Sansa his true parentage. It was just a brief little scene. But, you know, you saw him wrestling with it. But, of course, Jon being Jon, he's going to have to tell him because they deserve to know.
Yeah.
Right.
And I really like Arya in that scene because she has become so... she's hardcore, man. She's kind of cold and calculating now, you know.
Right.
And she was also very fair-minded about it, too, I think, where she said, no, I respect the decision that you made, Jon.
Yeah, she's like, you had to do it. You had to, like, kneel to her to get her to come and help save everybody. Like, I get it. And that even kind of, that surprised Sansa.
Oh, yeah, that was great. You know, she expected Arya to just to be on her side, but Arya was being incredibly fair-minded about it, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And, she was the first to promise to Jon. It seemed like she promised, and it wasn't really very difficult for her, you know, that she would never mention whatever he was about to say.
Yeah.
You know, that was a moment where he was about to tell them that I've been waiting for, ever since he found out.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because I really figured that Jon being Jon, I mean, unless he was going to die in the big battle, that he was definitely going to end up telling them, if nobody else.
Yeah. That's why I really would have liked to actually see their reactions when they found out, but I'm glad they all know now.
Yeah. Well, you know, we kind of did get to see Sansa's reaction in a sense when she's standing there on the parapet. Or on the wall or whatever it is, and Tyrion comes up to her and he's trying to talk to her, but she's just kind of staring off into the distance the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell that she's very conflicted about it and trying to figure out what to do about it.
Well, yeah, and I feel like it just basically added fuel to her fire of not liking Dany anyway as the queen, and now she has, you know, the question that she even posed to Tyrion is, well, what if there's a better choice? That better choice, obviously being Jon, you know? So I feel like she's probably super happy that she got that information, because she's like, yeah, I have another reason to not want Dany to be on the throne, because, like, yeah. Jon would be way better.
Yeah, that was a really great way that she led into that with Tyrion. So then, of course, you have Tyrion and Varys discussing what to do about it.
Right.
Oh, that's so good.
Two sneaky Pete's.
Oh, man.
Your intrigue is back, Jess. Your intrigue is back.
Yeah, and that's when I was like, okay, rubbing my hands together. Here we go. Because they're kind of like plotting against, you know, Daenerys too. It's like hard to say which direction they're really going to go.
Here's the thing, and I want to get both your thoughts on this. So Tyrion, I think, is trying his damnedest to defend Daenerys and to keep believing that she's the right one, right, to be on the throne. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I think that deep inside, he feels like maybe she's not, because, you know, he does say to Varys, well, she'll make the right choice with our advice, or with the advice of her trusted advisors. But you can see how worried he is. And not just because he thinks Varys might do something, I think.
Right. Yeah.
Like, so in the very last scene, when Daenerys and, you know, some of her soldiers and her dragon and Tyrion go to King's Landing and they have that parley and he's standing there talking to Qyburn. The way that he approaches that negotiation and the fact that he just sort of walks past Qyburn up to the wall to address his sister directly when, for all he knows, she's going to have them kill him on the spot.
Yeah, I was actually really scared for him there for a second.
Yeah, and I think he was too.
Oh my gosh, is he gonna die?
In fact, he waited to say anything until after she put her hand down, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
until, you know, she decided not to kill him in that instant. But the fact that he took those risks, I think, says he's really afraid that Daenerys is going to make the wrong choice and just tear into the city with fire, you know, fire, and it's just blood and fire from here on out.
Yeah, I think he definitely has his reservations about, because he's not totally sure how Dany will, you know, what she's going to do. And he has seen her behave impulsively before. So I do kind of see that he is, you know, possibly kind of thinking, okay, maybe she will go crazy. But also, in one sense, I feel like if you don't stand behind your king or your queen and you're not supporting them and they're starting to feel completely isolated and they don't have anybody to help, like, talk them down from things, they are just going to get crazier and crazier, you know? I guess not
power
all
corrupts.
Of them, but I feel like when you start to feel that way where you're losing everybody and now you're even losing your closest confidants in the hand of the queen, if she loses him, she is going to go, I think she will go just completely nuts. So, and I think she is probably getting really close to going nuts right now anyway, just because she just lost, she lost her dragon. She lost Missandei. But I think he also understands that, you know, because she's also trying to tell Varys, he's like, well, it's our duty to help them. It's our duty to help the kings and the queens, the people that we're serving, to be concerned about their state of mind. And that's why we're here, to be their trusted advisors. And he even says that. I thought that was that was such a strong statement, because Varys is ready to just be like, okay, I'm out of here. I'm going to the next one.
Right, next.
You know, and I feel like she really does need somebody to champion her and be kind of sticking up for her. So I really did like that Tyrion was doing that. But he's a smart man and he knows, sometimes the kings and queens get a little nuts. So I can see why he's worried.
Yeah. Now, so I want to stay with this thread while we're talking about this, because I feel like the show is really setting up this question of whether she's going to become a tyrant or not. And, you know, maybe the first very overt clue was when she burned the Tarly men alive and was just so incredibly merciless in that moment. And yeah, you can make a lot of good arguments as to why that could be necessary, in the sense that, you know, they're at war and there's all these things going on and all of this. But was that the first warning sign that she's not necessarily always going to make the same decision? And, you know, she had that conversation with Jon, that intimate scene with him where she comes in and, you know, she basically professes her love to him again. And she says, is that okay? And they start sucking face right after that. But only for a minute, because then it's almost like Jon remembers how they're related and he just stops and
He's like, ooh, gross, yes.
He goes like, and broods.
This is so good. Wait, you're my aunt. No.
Damn it. And he just goes and broods in the corner. But, like, you know, she gets to the point in that scene where she's literally begging him. And like right. she said, she never begged for anything in her life. And here she is begging for him not to do it. Now, on one hand, I do think that she's sincere in what she said about the fact that if he comes out with that, it's going to change everything, no matter what he wants. Right? It's going to take on a life of its own. He may not like where that goes and what does that mean for them. It might be really bad. So I think she is sincere in that. But on the other hand, I also think that her ambition has not gone away.
Right. Like, I feel like it was also a self-serving kind of thing.
Yeah. Like, I've maintained, and I said this on one of the, if not both of the previous episodes we've had on Game of Thrones, that, you know, I always thought, oh, well, they should just get married and they could rule side by side and that would solve a lot of problems. Well, I think it was the last episode Tyrion had that conversation with Varys, wasn't it? Mm-hmm.
Is that even yeah. legal?
And they brought up such a great point that, like, is she really going to want to share the throne? Is that who Daenerys is? I don't right. think so.
Yeah, and you then know? They were also like, I think, I don't know if it was Tyrion or Varys, but they were like, oh, she would probably just bend him to her will. Like, right. she's already starting to do that, you know, and like, would mm-hmm. she somehow make Jon, like, a worse man? I don't know. Like... Yeah. I mean, it's like they're tough questions and they're important questions for them to be having. And it's just so hard because, I mean, this whole series, I've been rooting for Dany and have really wanted her to prevail. And then I just feel like these last few episodes, they're just really setting her up to become the Mad Queen. And that just yeah. that makes me really sad for her. And just
me too.
Sad for the show in a way, because I'm like, well, that's. Really? Is that really the way it's going to end? Like, that she's just crazy and therefore we have to get rid of her?
I wouldn't be surprised because I think that, you know, among the many realistic things that the show has given us in terms of how people, I mean, not, you know, not the magic and stuff, obviously, but just the way, like, what motivates people and how people behave under different circumstances and the fact that you don't just have white hat good guys and black hat bad guys everywhere.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if they show us Dany as the ultimate case of how power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. You know, because after that whole scene where she's begging and begging and, you know, she begs him to never say this and all of this, they have that scene in the war room. I call it the war room with the big table with all the, mm-hmm. you know, the map and everything on it, where she's talking about it's her destiny and, you know, she will free the world from tyrants, and she'll do that no matter the cost.
Yeah, and that no matter the cost?
The look in her eye when she was saying all of that, especially the part about destiny, I'm thinking, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. Yeah. She could be going down a dark path here. And if indeed the best thing, if the way to free the world from tyrants, as her stated goal is, actually turns out that Jon would be a better ruler than her because maybe she is making the wrong decisions or what have you. She's, you know, she's gone mad with power. Will she actually do whatever it takes, which is to give up her claim to the throne?
Mm-hmm.
That's, right. I think, the question, whether she's actually going to do that. And I'll tell you what, you look at that expression on her face as they kill Missandei and as she
happen.
Walks off camera in that final shot of the episode. I don't know, man. That was some serious rage.
Yeah, that was like seething, yeah. just super fury, where you're just like, super oh my gosh, she fury. Is going to go completely crazy. Yeah, that was scary.
Here's the final question I have for you guys, for you to discuss here is, so if it turns out that she's going to make the, you know, the quote unquote wrong decision to just go in there and like kill all these innocent people that have gathered in King's Landing just to take the capital city and kill Cersei. Will Jon stand for that?
I don't see how he would. You know, the thing I keep thinking, like, wonder how it's going to play out. And it's like, there's only two episodes left, of course. I don't know why they did that. But next episode, they're going to go after and handle Cersei. And there's going to be a couple, you know, barbs in between the Jon and Daenerys, you know, power struggle that's coming. But I think probably the last episode, you know, they're not just going to end it like she's like, okay, you're a better ruler. I bequeath the Iron Throne to you. It's going to be something big. So I wonder if she is going to become, you know, the last hurdle that everyone has to get over. and how that's going to play out.
Yeah. Like, I almost am kind of thinking, just in, I don't know if we're doing predictions yet, but I have kind of a prediction for her. And I think she's going to end up dying, but I'm really hoping it's going to be because she does something where she's in a position where it's either her or John, and she's going to realize that she needs to go, and she'll, like, sacrifice herself for John. That's what I'm hoping, because that's, like, that would be, like, the one redeemable way to be like, okay, she's going crazy, but she still can make some sort of rational decisions here.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, it's just going to break my heart.
I would love that, because she was built up for so many seasons as, like, the person who's, you know, she was going to use her iron will and her dragons and her, Targaryen fire resistance and, you know, whatever, to really make a difference in the world. What did she call it? To break the wheel.
Yeah, she's going to break the wheel. Exactly.
You know, and that makes you admire her and all the other stuff that she did in Essos and freeing the slaves and all of this. And I think that, you know, it would really break my heart, as much as that would break my heart to see her die, you know, and to sacrifice herself. At least if it's for a good cause, that can be satisfying. Mm-hmm. And what I really don't want to see, or at least I just feel like it would be so tragic and really break my heart, is if John has to bring himself to kill her. Because despite the complicated nature of their relationship, he does love her very deeply, I think. You know?
Oh, well, unless, you know, like, Cersei has something very wicked planned, like when she blew up the that temple or courthouse or whatever it was that one time and killed everyone in it, you know, that probably wouldn't kill Danny anyway.
Or but, I feel like unless Varys, she's got he'll probably try and start doing something too, kind of getting the wheels turning to get her killed. I don't trust him at all in terms of Varys? Her safety.
I feel like he's got, like, you know, a poison vial with her name on it, you know.
Yeah, and something. Unless, you know, Cersei kills Daenerys, it has to be Jon. It has to be.
Either Jon or she sacrifices herself. Well, Arya doesn't, I don't think Arya cares about her enough to kill her, you know. Yeah. And her brother does, well, Jon / Aegon does love her. So, besides, she's more focused on killing Cersei at this point.
Yeah. Right. Now, you know. Which has me wondering, like, is she going to kill Cersei or is Jaime going to kill Cersei, you know?
If we're peppering in a couple predictions, I have one of my own, or at least something that I think may happen. I would not be surprised. I would not be surprised if we get the fabled Clegane Bowl, where the Clegane brothers go up against each other. And while the Mountain is engaged in this struggle with his brother, that's when Arya goes for Cersei.
Ooh, I like that idea.
I just have a feeling, because as skilled as Arya is, I don't necessarily see her killing the Mountain if he's got all his armor on. I mean, she's good, but that guy weighs as much as a truck, you know?
But she can also put on other people's faces, so she could probably get past him close enough to kill Cersei. It might be a suicide mission, but, you know, she could be...
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking, because Cersei has that, you know, prophecy, you know, from when she was young, where she would get killed by little brother. So I'm guessing it's going to be Tyrion that ends up killing Cersei. And that's a good thing with the, while the Clegane Bowl is going on and everyone's attention is on that, Tyrion will be able to sneak up and take out Cersei and then rip his face off, and it's Arya.
See, I think
she might
Jaime.
Do it as Jaime's face, because Jaime might be the younger twin. I'm not sure if
but
he
she would have to. But, he could but be she would have to kill
Jaime. Yeah, he is. It's like a couple minutes. She's a couple minutes older than him.
But she would have to kill Jaime to take his face, I think. Well, you know what? I don't think she'd have a problem with that, come to think of it. But I actually think it would be more impactful if Jaime himself is the one to kill her.
I agree. It would be more impactful, but it would also be sad to deny Arya the satisfaction that she's... Because Cersei has been on her list from, like, the beginning. Yeah. Like, she's been on her revenge list. So I would love for her to actually be able to do that.
Isn't it strange that we're now rooting for this girl who I still kind of think of as a little girl because, you know, she's like 11 when the show started. We're now rooting for this girl to, like, kill people.
Yeah, we're like, just be murderous. It's okay. Yeah, we're behind you.
She's become a woman now.
Exactly. She has. She could have been a lady, but that's not her jam. She doesn't want to be a lady. She wants to go off and do her thing.
as Gendry learned to his dismay this episode.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, poor I'm Gendry. A lord or whatever it was. And he's like, I'm going to go get my girl. And he runs up to her and he's like, look what I got. We can live here and love here and ha ha ha. And she's like, okay, thanks, bye.
She's like, yeah. You were misreading no, all those signals. I just was sleeping with you because we were about to die.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never had cheesecake before. Don't give me a break.
You know, I think she did let him down in as easy a way as she possibly could have.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, she did it definitely the
nicest
way.
She gave him that
kiss.
And
I think she did like Gendry, but obviously not to the extent where she's like, let's have babies and live at Storm's End for the rest of our lives.
Right.
That's just not her.
Well, it's like she said to the Hound when she joined him on the road there. You know, she's got things to attend to in King's Landing and she doesn't expect to return.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's I love them as a team.
Oh, I love them
so
much.
With their whole arc together, so it'll be awesome.
I love it too
to
when he's
they...
like, are you going to leave me to die again? Like, if I get hurt, will you leave me to die?
Yep. She's like, probably.
And, yeah,
and then
probably.
He smiles.
Yeah.
He's like,
yeah,
that's right.
I probably
that was
deserve
the right
it.
Answer.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
But I have
love
a feeling.
Those two together.
I have a feeling we're going to see them work together to take down the Mountain and Cersei. Whether Jaime's the one to kill Cersei or not, I think that that's going to happen. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if what happens is Jaime sees that, like, everybody in the city that's all gathered there, you know, into the castle is just going to be, like, torched by the dragon, and he decides to kill Cersei to head it off at the pass because, remember, that's why he killed the Mad King, to basically keep everybody in the city from being burned alive.
Yeah.
So... that would be a really interesting and I think even appropriate way for Jaime to make that choice. Now, I don't know if that's actually going to happen, but it makes me I just wonder what Jaime's further role in all of this is going to be since he is now on his way back to King's Landing. And that scene between him and Brienne where he leaves and she tries to get him to stay. Oh, it was heartbreaking.
Yeah, it was so sad for Brienne. Oh,
you
man,
know,
that was rough. And also when she's like, you're a good guy.
Yeah, she finally came to terms with her feelings for him that she's never really understood how to express, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she fell for him pretty hard. And then he's like, hey, you gotta go.
Yeah, I think Jaime was really judging himself really harshly there. Yes, he did all of those things. You know, he's one of the more fascinating characters in the show, in my opinion, because he's such in that moral gray zone. You know,
right.
Like he stood up for what is right and he's put himself at risk to do the right thing and this and that. And he's also done some really, really nasty stuff.
And he pushed Bran out of a window.
Which basically started the whole war.
Yeah, but he's changed so much. Like his whole character arc is really impressive. And just it is really it's interesting just like how they've been able to turn him into somebody that the audience really is rooting for, you know, because I used to be like, I hate Jaime. And then I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm starting to really like Jaime. What's wrong with me?
I know, right? Yeah. I know.
And it's like with the whole Brienne and Jaime situation, you know, she wants him to stay. And again, I think that was still not in her mind yet that they got stuff to do. You know, they got to take care of Cersei and this and that. So maybe Jaime's got some sort of plan. You know, and she's like, stay with me. And he's like, no time for love, Dr. Jones. And he's got to go take care of what needs taken care of.
And she's,
you know, we can play house later.
Yeah. And she's like, don't go to save her. But he never even confirms that he's going to save her, you know, which I thought was nice. Because I was like, yeah, because he's probably going to try and stop her from doing her terrible things. You know, and the fact that he's like, I am hateful and so is she makes me almost feel like he's going to kill her and then kill himself, you know, and they'll just die in each other's arms or something.
Yeah. And Romeo and Juliet.
The problem, problem with this show is it is Game of Thrones, and we're getting to the end game, to coin a phrase. And when we were talking about, you know, Varys and Tyrion, that's what their kid would be named, Varys. If you were in power and you saw the two of them whispering in a corner, it's like, which one would you trust first?
Mm-hmm.
Out of Tyrion and Varys?
Yeah,
I would trust Tyrion. Because we all know Varys is the Lord of Whispers and whatever. I'd be like, no, I will not trust you as far as I can throw you.
Yeah, with all of these, you know, storylines and everything coming together at the same place at the same time and a lot of different people fighting for the same thing for different reasons. it's like, who can you trust from here on out? Mm. Everybody might do their own thing for what they think is right. And that's what we're going to see probably between Jaime and Cersei and Jon and Daenerys. And
mm-hmm. there's going to be a lot of choices being made. And I feel like right now, all those main characters at this point, all of them, they don't have their most trusted person with them. You know, for Jon, that was Sam. Right. He doesn't have Sam with him. Danny doesn't have Missandei. Or Jorah. And Cersei doesn't have Jaime. I mean, in a way, that's kind of the only person that she really can trust. And, like, sure, she's passing off her baby as Euron's, but you can even see, like, on her face after she tells him, she's like, oh, and that's then our child will rule them on. And then afterwards, she looks like she's just about to, like, vomit in her mouth. Yeah. Like, she's like, oh, I have to pretend. Ugh. You know, because deep down inside, she still does love Jaime, as weird and twisted and crazy as she is. But yeah. I mean,
he's a handsome man. Come on.
I mean, he has a golden hand.
Yeah, I think that's a really good observation that all these key players are without, you know, their most trusted friends and advisors right now. That's really interesting. That makes everything just so much more unstable, you know?
Exactly. It's like, what is going to happen?
Speaking of Tyrion and Varys, though, Varys, you wouldn't necessarily be the first one to trust, but on the other hand, I really like what he said about the realm and the people in that conversation with Tyrion, where he's like talking about the realm, and Tyrion says, what is the realm anyway? And he says, it's a, you know, a huge continent with millions of people, some of whom could die depending on who's on the throne, and my loyalty is to them. And I'm really glad that there's a major character in this show that has something about that to say. Has something to say about that.
Yeah, it is nice that this one person who really is thinking about the people. Because, like, on the
it's not just the seven of us.
Yeah, exactly. And, like,
I think a lot of the characters that we've come to know and love think about that to an extent, but none more so than, I think, Varys and Jon.
Mm-hmm. True.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Jon cares a lot, too. I think the problem with poor Dany, is that when she was in Essos, it's a totally different ballgame. And so she was so great in Essos because she's saving people and freeing them from slavery and doing all this stuff. And now she's coming to Westeros where there's like an established king or queen, I should say. And people don't necessarily, like, no one's hurting that much to the point where they're like, oh, we need to get rid of our monarch. And so I feel like she doesn't even know how to rule in that situation, you know? So it's all very new to her. And she's not doing so great, and she's getting a lot of, like, flack from people. So she's just totally out of her element. I really feel for her, because it's hard. Like, how are you going to go in and be like, well, I should be your queen now? And, I mean, Varys and Tyrion even kind of talked about, they're like, a lot of people in the realm don't even care who's king or queen.
Yeah. And she's got, like, this very strong, powerful internal power struggle going on. You know, between now she found out about John's lineage and all that, and she's very confused about what's going to happen. And like we mentioned earlier, she's getting pushed towards a breaking point. And
yeah,
I think she is.
She's going to crack.
Yeah, it used to be that she was like, well, I'm the rightful heir to the throne. And now it's more like, well, I deserve it because I've been working so hard at it to the point where I will do anything I need to do to rid the world of tyrants, even though I sound like one right now. Like,
even though her family, you know, her name will still be on the throne if, you know, either her or Jon are there. So
I just can't see her accepting, you know, second fiddle on this.
Right.
I really don't. And I, especially in light of what happens in this episode and that look on her face of just like white hot rage at the end, I don't know, I have a feeling that might overrule her better judgment, and it's going to come down to her advisors and Jon to either talk her down or something. But at this point, let's before we get into our predictions for what's to come, are there any other little moments or scenes that you want to talk about before we start to, you know, wrap up?
I have one. We need to talk about Ghost, okay?
Ghost.
Because that was a really terrible way to just say goodbye to Ghost. I was really sad. I wanted him to get some belly rubs. I wanted Jon to get a little teary. I wanted him to do, like, the Lassie farewell, where you, like, throw rocks at him to make him leave, even though technically, like, you secretly love them, but you're trying to protect them. Like, I wanted something, and I thought it was so just
That's
terrible.
That's a good boy.
Yeah!
Like, that scene, like, I thought from it was Harry terrible. And the
Ghost
Hendersons,
has saved him so many times.
Yeah, Toss him a steak or something.
Exactly. And instead, Ghost just
toss him
like
the head of a fallen enemy.
I know.
He got half his ear chewed off, you know.
Mm-hmm. I know. He looks so rough, like in the beginning, like when they're doing the funeral, like the funeral pyre thing. And they just like, they're showing all the people. And then all of a sudden you see Ghost. And I was like, whoa, he looks rough. Poor Ghost. But
because at the end of the last episode, I was like, where are half of the characters from the episode?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they all rushed into battle and then that's
you
it. You don't see
him again.
So
here's a moment that we really need to discuss is the death of one of the dragons.
Right.
Oh, that's
exactly.
Right. Absolutely.
Oh, boy.
Ugh, that was just terrible.
That's one of the major deaths of the season.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. And you know, there was that moment when she's flying above her fleet and the music is like reaching its most triumphant moment. And then boom, he gets hit with the, you know, the bolt from those oversized crossbow. Yeah.
I had some problems with that scene, though, I gotta say. Because first of all, you're up there with your dragons and you didn't see Euron's fleet at all. Like,
right.
Like they were able to see your dragon well enough to actually hit him, but you didn't see him. Like, so that made me kind of mad. Mm. And then it made me mad when, like, Daenerys starts going, like, head first. Like, she's going straight for Euron. And I was like, okay, well, at least she's going to Dracarys him. And then she's like, oh, wait, too many spears. I'm out of here. Like, but she was really flying into the spears at first. I was like, if you're going to risk your life, then you need to at least get some shot in. And so that kind of made me mad.
That's another moment where I'm wondering if they're trying to set up the fact that her decision-making process is compromised.
Yeah.
You know, in the sense that she's letting her anger, you know,
her emotions to take
override
control.
Yeah,
I think they very well may be setting us up.
Like
that,
many characters have done over the course of this show, both man and woman, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was
and that's the thing,
so
maybe... Maybe that's a good point, you know, coming up in the next episode or two. There might be something that she creates a huge failure because she chose, you know, with her heart instead of her mind. And maybe that could be the turning point.
Exactly. That could be the turning point where, you know, Jon and Varys and Tyrion all have, you know, bigger decisions to make as to how they're going to proceed. Now, the last moment that I want to talk about before we get into a couple predictions and wrap things up is that moment when Jon is saying goodbye to Tormund and then Sam.
Right.
That was, I mean, you know, the thing with Tormund was kind of sweet. And, you know, I love how Tormund said, you got the North in you, the real North.
He's like, you've got the stamp of approval. Wildlings like you.
And that's right. And by the way, you know, he says, what does he say? Jon says something like, I guess this is farewell. And Tormund says, you never know.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if, you know, he'll be able to call on the wildlings. at some point to follow him into battle when it's sorely needed. I guess we'll see.
Another big player speaking on revenge is Grey Worm.
Oh, yeah.
He's not going to be happy either.
Oh, yeah,
Well, that's also one of the things is, like, so at the end, Missandei goes, Dracarys, and then Grey Worm's also like, yeah, we need to kill him. So, like, everyone, like Daenerys' closest people are all like, yeah, go crazy and burn them all, you know? So, in a sense, it's like, what are you going to do? You're already feeling kind of vulnerable. The people that you love and trust the most are missing and, or, like, dead, I should say. And the ones that are alive are telling you that you should go ahead and follow those impulses to go completely crazy, you know?
Right.
So it's, she's in a bad situation, I feel.
It is a bad situation. So super last thing before we move on to predictions is, I just want to say how awesome it was to see Jon and Sam hug that last time and to see that Sam is going to have another little Sam.
Yeah, go Sam! I know, it'll be so great. I'm happy for them.
Yeah, I was really happy about that. And actually, at first, the first time I watched the episode, because I watched it twice, I thought, wait, is Sam leaving and going back to the Tarly home? Because he doesn't have to be a Night Watchman anymore, because the undead are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
However, what I realized...
A lot of layoffs on the wall there.
Yeah.
A lot of layoffs on the wall.
What I realized is that he's staying there in Winterfell, at least for the time being, and Jon was the one that was leaving.
Yeah, and I think Tormund is staying too, because he was like, once the winter storms die down, we're going to head to Castle Black. So those people are all still at Winterfell, so maybe something will happen with them.
That's what I'm thinking, is maybe they'll get word of such and such happening, and then the wildlings will come down to, you know, join on Jon's side. So, so that would be the first prediction. So what predictions do you guys have as to what might happen either just in the next episode or the next two episodes? Anything at all?
Oh, man. I mean, yeah, it's really hard. you go ahead.
It's so hard. It's like, who's going to die next? It's like, I don't even know. It's like, everybody. Everyone's going to die in the next episode.
I think we peppered in a number of predictions so far.
The very last episode is just going to be a montage of all the best scenes.
So my prediction...
Everyone's dead.
For the very end, what I see happening at the very end, for some reason, I've been feeling this way ever since I like rewatched season one before this season started. I feel like Tyrion is definitely going to be on the throne at the end, and I think he's going to be with Sansa. I think those are the two, because I think something's going to happen. Dany's going to die somehow. Hopefully it'll be through a heroic, sacrificial death to help save Jon. I think Cersei's definitely going to be killed, probably by Jaime, possibly by Arya, but disguised as Jaime. And then I think Jon will be like, but I really don't want to be king. And he'll say, Sansa, you can have it. I think Sansa and Tyrion are actually a really good match. And I feel like last episode, they really had some nice moments that I felt were kind of paving the way for them to get together. And there's something in season one, and I can't remember exactly the wording, but Tyrion said something about how he sees himself on the throne. And Sansa's always wanted to be on the throne too. And I feel like that would kind of be probably the best way to do it. Because you would have a northerner on the throne. You'd have Tyrion, who's like a good guy. Like, they are both really good leaders. Sansa has amazing leadership skills. And I think they would be great. Those are the two who I see in the end. I don't know how exactly it's going to happen, but that's my prediction.
That's interesting. I was saying last week, I really would not be surprised if Tyrion and Sansa end up getting married for real this time, you know, because they're both incredibly smart, clever people. They have a level of trust for each other. I mean, she said to him that he was the best of them all, you know, of her husband.
Compared to Joffrey and Ramsay. I mean, I know she wasn't ever married to Joffrey, but she almost was.
Right. I really wouldn't be surprised.
I thought they did have a nice moment, too. You know, that moment last episode where they're like looking at each other and he kisses her hand. And I was like, there could be some tenderness there.
Yeah.
And he hasn't slept with a whore in like 2 years, so he's probably clean by now.
He's got to be. If he hasn't had any symptoms by now, he's got to be clean.
For sure.
I have a crazy, crazy outside chance that something happens, because I believe George R. R. Martin has said that the very end is going to be bittersweet, which I think makes sense. But what if, to avoid the bloodshed...
Someone's going to die.
To avoid the bloodshed after Daenerys is somehow killed. Okay, I'm not necessarily advocating this, but it's something that occurred to me, and this show has pulled the rug out from under me so many times that I can't, in all honesty, say that anything would be totally surprising at this point. But what if, to avoid all the bloodshed, like after Dany dies or something, Jon marries Cersei?
What?
No.
What? How could that happen?
No, I actually don't think
that. That is terrible. How dare you? Yeah.
How would that even work?
I don't know. She is prophesied.
And that's when everyone kills Jon and Cersei.
She is. That's,
plans changed.
You know, now that I've said it out loud, it seems to make no sense whatsoever.
You're like, I just need to get it out there in the world.
Yeah.
The podcast is canceled.
The thought occurred to me, so I was like, well. But no.
Well, it would definitely be a surprise ending, and that would be extremely bittersweet / disturbing. So
I don't think Sansa would ever accept that, though, come to think of it.
Yeah.
I mean, if she doesn't trust
Daenerys.
Well, then
Jon would immediately be at war with everyone else.
True.
Because they wouldn't stand for it.
And Euron wouldn't let that go. I mean, they'd have to kill Euron, too, because he's
being the king. I think Euron dies in the next episode. That's what I think.
Probably. I think that's a good likelihood.
His part's used up.
If you watch the preview for the next episode, which is like right after the credits, it shows Euron on his boat and he like squints up at the sun and you can just like barely see the tiniest outline of a dragon like right in the middle of the sun. So I think what Dany's going to do is she's going to ride that last remaining dragon down like in the sun so they can't look up and see her as she's coming, and she's just going to torch all the ships, you know,
Whoa, that'd be
all
awesome.
Or most... Yeah, yeah, that's going to be interesting. That so that's also interesting because that means that Cersei won't have that navy anymore. Mm-hmm. And since Yara...
And that's the only reason Euron is still alive.
Basically.
Because he's got the fleet.
Basically, know? Yeah.
It was just her, like you mentioned earlier, it was a tactical move to bring him in. They don't have any, you know, claim to the throne. They'll never get there. They're not that powerful. So I think, like you said, he's going down.
And once that happens, that puts Cersei in a really tough spot. You know, does she continue to claim that the baby is his? Or does she say something else, especially now that Jaime is coming back? And Yara, Varys related to us this episode, has retaken the Iron Isles, like she said she was going to try to do last time she saw Theon. Mm-hmm. So now they're going to have control of the Iron Isles and presumably control of the seas, which means they can also do like a blockade around King's Landing and all kinds of stuff. So it's getting really interesting. And doesn't it seem like it makes sense that the next episode is going to be like a big, enormous battle of some kind?
For sure. Yeah.
Well, it has to be.
Yeah.
Thanks.
It's not like they're going to kill Cersei in her sleep. Ha ha. Gotcha.
That wouldn't be quite as satisfying to see as either Jaime or Arya taking her down while she's awake and seeing what happens. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And as far as Arya and her arc with the Faceless Man and that whole thing, that's got to come back. It's got to play a role in the end game. And I just don't know how they're going to work it in, because it'd be kind of silly to have all that build up and all that training, and she's got one of the coolest abilities.
She did take down the Night King. I think that was a pretty climactic.
She did save all of humanity with her special moves.
Right. Yes, that's true.
But no, I think that her story is not finished yet.
But she did it with her own face.
True.
That's the point.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. She's got to close those green eyes forever, though.
Exactly. Exactly.
Back to that scene, I was almost thinking that she was disguised as Bran when the Ice King was coming up.
Ooh, that would have been cool, huh?
I think that she would have had to have killed Bran.
Stand up
though.
Out of her wheelchair.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah,
I keep forgetting she has to kill the people before she can wear their skin. But
I feel like Arya's gonna end up dead though in the end, at the very end. I don't know if it'll happen in next season, in next episode, but I think by the end of the series, I feel like she's gonna be dead, just because I'm thinking numbers wise, all the Stark kids cannot survive.
What if she kills Cersei and accomplishes her mission? She's like, all right, wow, I can't believe I made it out. And then like random person steps out from around the corner and stabs her in the head. And then takes off their face and it's Jack and Hagar. You know, or whoever.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, bum, bum, bum. Yeah, okay. So on that note, let's just wrap up. Deanna, final thoughts on this episode, The Last of the Starks.
Final thoughts are... stuff is gonna happen next week. I mean, they've obviously set everything up. They've done their best to kind of like tie up different people's storylines nice and pretty so that we can focus on this big battle. And then I'm pretty sure then the last episode is just going to be, you know, getting all the conclusions and figuring out who's going to be on the Iron Throne. But I think next episode is going to be crazy. I'm looking forward to it, but I'm also really disappointed about the whole Dany is starting to turn into a mad queen. I'm not happy about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to have to see how that plays out. Jess, what are your final thoughts on this episode?
Final thoughts. Like I said, it's like it started off with a little of the celebration and stuff that I mentioned. They could have fast traveled through that and got to more of the intrigue and action. But now we're in it.
You're just just kill people already.
Yeah, just get the kill count up a little more.
Enough with the sweet moments and the hugs.
Personalities, blah. But no, it'll just be interesting to see all these final acts, because it's like all these people, it's like playing Mortal Kombat. Everyone has their own finishing move, and we're going to see how everyone, you know, plays them out. And it's going to be fantastic, and it's going to be crazy.
Yeah,
and we're all just probably going to sit there going, what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it better be for 127 minutes.
Oh, yeah, so much time.
Yeah. Yeah. My final thoughts. I mean, I agree with everything you guys just said. I think, some crazy stuff is going to happen. I really want to see Euron Greyjoy. Like, is it wrong to say I want to see him die in agony? Is that wrong?
I don't like him. I do not like the man.
I feel kind of weird saying that about somebody, even a fictional person, but man, I think, God, if anybody deserves it, man, him and Ramsay Bolton.
Yeah.
Oh. Ugh. We didn't mention Braun at all.
Oh, Braun.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That
one
scene
of my
where
other top five favorite characters.
Yeah, he's awesome. But they tied that up nicely, too, because he just came in and was like, okay, Tyrion, I'll take your offer of doubling whatever Cersei offered, which in this case means he gets Highgarden, right? And then he's like, but I'm not fighting for you guys. I'm done. I'm just going to talk to you after you survive this battle. You better survive this battle. See you later. So they kind of did that nicely where they kind of were like, okay, he's out of the picture now. But
it was classic Braun. He was totally
so
true to his, you know, advantage-grubbing self. And we'll have to see if that really works out for him in the end, won't we?
Yeah, he's only in it for the Benjamins.
What if Braun's the one to kill Cersei? Boom!
That would be crazy. He does a mind meld. And he holders her.
Well, we'll wait to see that happen, I guess. Mm. So, all right. Well, Deanna, thank you so much for coming on to talk about this episode of Game of Thrones with us today.
It was fun. A delight.
Yeah. Now, for everybody out there who may not know, she has been blogging about Game of Thrones. Hasn't it been since 2011, since the show started, Deanna?
No, you know what? I think I only started at like season 5. I would have to go back and do a lot of extra work. I started doing it around season 5.
Okay. Well, why don't you tell the listeners at home about your blog and where they can find your
musings? Sure. So it's called Dame of Thrones. It's my blog on Tumblr. I unfortunately couldn't get the dameofthrones.tumblr.com. So it's Choupetit, which is choupetit.tumblr.com. I do recaps every week and a little commentary, and it's just a passion project of mine. I love Game of Thrones. I like to write, and I have a lot of fun doing it. So if you ever want to get a little good recap, or you know, if you forgot something, just go to my Game of Thrones Tumblr and you'll get all
and
the information you need.
Very entertaining recap, so
thank
I would
you.
Highly
sweet
recommend anybody that likes Game of Thrones as much as us to go check that out.
Yeah, I haven't checked it out myself, but I'm going to now.
Oh,
and we'll put a link to your info on our site when we put this up.
Yep,
so
it'll be in the show notes.
Everyone can write it down or click the link and make it easier for them.
Great. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Mecha Dragon. I want to thank everybody at home for listening this time. And join us next week as we do the next episode in our Game of Thrones series. The end is coming, guys. The end is coming.
It's coming.
It's coming.
Can't believe it. All right. Well, I'm Captain Will, signing out.
And I'm your nerd, Jess. And now I'm going to plug us. Just so you guys know, as advancing hordes of undead ice zombie automatons, Mechadragon is invading all of your social medias. You can subscribe and listen to us at mechadragon.net. You can catch our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, CastBox, Stitcher, wherever else you listen to podcasts. Catch us there. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Mechadragon Show, so you can send us questions or comments, or if we screwed something up, go ahead and yell at us. Just be nice. Don't hurt. And we will see you next time, Poindexters. Later.
All right. Later, everybody. Our music is Overworld by Kevin MacLeod from Incompetech.com, licensed under a Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0, creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0.